nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Kodiak, where it's 49 degrees under what they're calling mostly cloudy skies, but it's pretty darn nice out there. High near 54 is called for today. Calm winds will turn to the southeast around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 45. South wind 10 miles per hour will become light and variable this evening. And for tomorrow, just a 20% chance of rain. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high near 52. Calm winds will turn to the southeast and go to 5 miles per hour tomorrow afternoon. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak ranks third in volume among fishing ports around the United States. And we get a look at a program that's only being listened to here in Kodiak, Bonjour Chanson. I'm sure I slaughtered that. That and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. A third lawmaker is now breaking ranks with fellow Republicans in the Senate over the creation of an independent bipartisan commission to investigate the pro-Trump insurrection at the U.S. Capitol in January. Senator Susan Collins says she will vote yes.
We owe it to the brave men and women who defended our lives that day, and in some cases did so at the cost of their lives.
The mother of fallen U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick tells NPR she wants Congress to investigate.
My son is dead, and I want to know why.
Gladys Sicknick has gone to Capitol Hill, hoping to change enough minds for the bill to pass the Senate. President Biden is in Cleveland today, touting his administration's efforts to shore up the COVID-battered economy. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports Biden is also making another pitch for his massive jobs and infrastructure proposal as the nation emerges from the coronavirus pandemic.
President Biden says his coronavirus relief plan has laid a strong foundation in building back the economy, but it's just the first step.
The Biden economic plan is working. We had record job creation. We're seeing record economic growth. We're creating a new paradigm, one that rewards work, the working people of this nation, not just those at the top.
Biden also made another push for his infrastructure plan, saying the proposed $1.7 trillion in spending will make the U.S. more competitive with other nations. The White House and congressional Republicans have made some progress toward a compromise on the bill, but remain far apart on the scope and size of the measure. Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
Investigators are combing the site of yesterday's mass shooting in San Jose, California, for evidence. 10 people are dead after a light rail worker ambushed his co-workers. The gunman took his own life at the scene. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports today the city of San Jose is honoring the victims of this latest mass shooting in the U.S.
The victims range in age between 29 and 63. 8 died at the Valley Transportation Authority rail yard. A 9th later died at hospital. One victim, Taptajeep Singh, had just returned from vacation. Family and colleagues say he was gunned down after helping a female co-worker safely hide in a control room. The father of two was 36. San Jose Councilman Raul Perales lost a lifelong friend, Michael Rudometkin, in the shooting.
It has been painstaking and heartbreaking. And I truly feel for all of the victims' families, the friends, the loved ones, and our community as a whole.
In the evening, that community will gather in downtown San Jose for a vigil to honor and remember the victims. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
It's NPR.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Kodiak Island Borough's Consolidation Committee continues to meet. KMXT's Dylan Simard has more.
The ongoing effort of the Borough Assembly to consolidate the borough and city governments may slow down for the summer. The City Council is preparing to table the discussion until after the summer, but it is still looking at tactics that they can apply towards rebuffing the consolidation effort. The borough formed the Consolidation Committee in 2019, and since then it has made recommendations about naming a consolidated government and what services it would provide. In a Kodiak City Council work session last night, Mayor Pat Branson discussed a possible future public information campaign and a resolution outlining the city's case against the Borough Consolidation Committee.
It's a public information campaign on where the city is, where this consolidation committee is, and build from that, and maybe culminate in a resolution that might be similar to the one from 1989 that you have in your packet.
The document she is referring to is a city council resolution from 3 decades ago outlining the city's position against consolidation, a reminder that this dispute has been ongoing for a generation. The city council maintains that the borough hasn't done its due diligence in investigating consolidation, and the Borough Consolidation Committee contends that consolidating will make for a more efficient local government. Councilmember Terry Haynes agreed with the sentiment to table the Consolidation Committee discussion until after the summer, but called openly for a statement challenging the grounds on which consolidation is being considered.
I think I agree with putting a hold on any participation on our part, but I wonder if it might be worth our while to simply issue a very simple statement in which we simply say that we don't have anything against consolidation per se, but that they should follow the mandate in their advisory, which is they're supposed to be evaluating the pros, cons, harms, and benefits of consolidation.
While local government meetings tend to ease up in the summer months, it is clear that the consolidation cold war between city and borough is still running hot.
£400 million of fish, representing $120 million, traveled through Kodiak's commercial fishery in 2019. This makes Kodiak the third leading commercial fishery in the United States and the sixth most valuable. That's according to an annual report published this week by NOAA, which looks at every fishery in the United States to document landings and fishery values. For instance, Alaska is responsible for 60% of all seafood landings and represents a third of the industry's value, more than any one state. All in all, nearly 1 billion fish were caught in saltwater bodies that year. The top fish processed was Alaska pollock, valued at $2 billion. Way back in second place was sockeye salmon, worth over $1 billion. Kodiak's fishery places consistently in the top 4 U.S. fisheries every year. Kodiak's retook its third place standing after placing behind Louisiana's fishery in 2018. There's one particular music show that's unique to Kodiak's public radio station, Bonjour Chanson, by Charles Spira. His French music show with English language commentary has been running on KMXT for about a year. KMXT's Dylan Simard spoke to him to tell the story behind his music show.
Charles Spira has been producing the Bonjour Chanson French music show for well over a decade, but his passion for French music has been lifelong. He shared with me a story from his youth.
My mother took myself and my sister each week to a place where I heard music, French music, every week. The best artists, the greatest artists, you might have heard of Edith Piaf, perhaps. Well, I had eye contact with Edith Piaf because I was sitting in the first row and she saw a little boy paying rapt attention to her singing, and a vague smile played on her face. That's a wonderful memory for me.
Spira grew up in Antwerp in Belgium, with Dutch as his first language. He learned French through immersion after spending time in Switzerland in his youth. He received an education in physics in Belgium, and Spira immigrated to the United States in a generational wave in the latter 20th century of Western European scientists and engineers pursuing careers at America's laboratories, universities, and manufacturing hubs. He ultimately settled in Baltimore in 1997, where he has lived since. For Spira, the story of Bonjour Chanson began with his purchase of a car.
And then what happened was, in 2007, I got a new car. And that car had a satellite radio. At that time, it was XM, Sirius XM. Sirius and XM were separate companies, and on XM radio, there was a program from Canada called Sur la Route, where they played French language songs day and night, one after the other. And I thought it was really bad to have no context whatsoever. And also, since they played 24 hours a day, the quality was uneven. So I told myself I can do better. So I invited a company to set up a little studio in my basement. I had to prepare the script, and I created the demo, which was the episode one of Bonjour Chanson.
Since then, Bonjour Chanson can be found regularly on some French radio stations, a station in Switzerland, but only one station in the U.S., and that's KMXT 100.1 FM. Spira says that it's not easy to get an American station to play French music.
My heart is really touched by the fact that KMXT broadcasts my program. And because I see that Kodiak is such a diverse community. There are people of many backgrounds there. And to know that a lot of them enjoy listening to Bonjour Chanson lifts my heart up.
Ultimately, for Spira, the music show is about more than just the music.
I always say, if you know a different language, you look at the world through colored glasses. It's like a different perspective on the world. And French chanson gives you a different perspective on the world. You find out how the French or the Francophone people, how they think, how they live, and how they love.
You can hear Bonjour Chanson on Fridays from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on KMXT 100.1 FM or on KMXT.org. This week's episode features a song by French-Canadian artist Adriana Mallette titled Alaska. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
A 600-acre wildfire is burning near the village Pilot Point. A crew of 33 smoke jumpers and wildland firefighters from the Pioneer Peak Interagency Hotshot Crew have contained about 50% of that fire. The fire was reported on Monday after 1 p.m. and started at the local landfill before it reached the tundra. High winds made it difficult for residents to control it, and they contacted the Division of Forestry. Tim Morey with the Division of Forestry says the fire is about 2 miles north of the village, and all immediate threats have been mitigated by the fire crew.
But there could still be smoke impacts to the airport, you know, which could potentially close the airport. But they've developed a plan to secure the east and northeast sides of the fire with indirect line, and that's what the Pioneer Peak crew will be doing. They're working from an ATV trail to a large lake, trying to put in a line that would stop the fire if it got that far.
Smoke jumpers kept the fire from reaching the airstrip and wooden electric power poles. A helicopter dumped water on the ground to assist firefighters yesterday. Crews are expected to fully contain the fire today or tomorrow. This week, federal legislation paved the way for cruising this summer. Now, Southeast Alaska communities must quickly prepare to receive cruise ships as early as July. When the Sitka Assembly met on Tuesday, it gave the city administrator authority to enter into port agreements with cruise companies that plan to visit Sitka. But first, the ships must meet certain criteria required by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. KCAW's Catherine Rose has this report.
According to the resolution, the city administrator can enter into a port agreement with a cruise line, but only if certain conditions are met first. The cruise companies must provide their ship schedules for approval, and cruise ship operators must agree to meet current CDC standards. City Administrator John Leach said he'd been working with other Southeast community leaders to draft the guidelines for port agreements. But with the abbreviated summer cruise season now quickly approaching, he said that process would need to be streamlined.
We all recognized that if we had to take every individual port agreement for every single trip back to the Assembly or back to the EOC and find out what the standards are at that given moment and get the approval from you all for me to sign that, we're starting to get in the way of them being able to operate their business.
Chris McGraw owns Halibut Point Marine Services, Sitka's private cruise ship terminal. During public comment, he urged the Assembly to approve the resolution.
given the timeline right now, we're about 7 weeks out from the first ship that is scheduled. And the sooner that we can get these agreements in place, the sooner everybody will know that ships will be coming and everybody can get prepared.
Administrator Leach said there were still a lot of unknowns they'd have to sort out over the next few weeks with the CDC's instructions. Like what happens if a cruise passenger tests positive for the coronavirus?
Right now, all of our hotels in town are booked for the remainder of the summer. So if a passenger comes in here and they test positive and they have to disembark the ship, and then there's also a rule that says they can't get on a plane and get out of here, they have to travel by the road system, where do we put them?
And what happens if there's a big outbreak in Southeast? Assemblymember Kevin Knox asked if the city would be able to respond should a ship stop in a high-risk community before visiting Sitka.
What's going on in Ketchikan right now could have been avoided, but there was some stuff that was, you know, broken, protocols that were broken that really put Ketchikan at risk, and then ended up putting a lot of other communities at risk in Southeast Alaska. If that happens in some other community in regards to the cruise ships, are we able to react?
Administrator Leach said he believed they would be able to react, but hoped that setting the rules with cruise lines early on would reduce the need to. The Assembly approved the resolution unanimously on first and final reading. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Last year, Haynes Glacier Bear wrestler Wesley Verham won the Alaska Division II Boys State Wrestling Championship in the 215-pound weight class as a junior. In his senior year, Wesley wanted to one-up himself, so he moved into the heavyweight division that tops out at 285 pounds, and he brought home another championship. KHNS's Mike Swayze has this report.
Yeah! Nice job, Wes!
That's the sound of a community celebrating a champion. Wesley Verham rode atop a fire truck with sirens wailing through the picturesque coastal Alaskan community of Haynes on Sunday. Throngs of onlookers cheered, drivers honked their horns. Verham had just returned from the state tournament at Anchorage and brought his second state championship in 2 years home to Haynes. Verham says it was a comment his coach made to him just before his final match that helped inspire the victory.
He came up to me and pointed at my singlet, and my singlet says Haynes Glacier Bears. And he said, Wesley, this is the last time you're going to wear that singlet. This is the last time you're going to represent Haynes. Go make it count.
And Wesley did. He was the second seed in this year's tournament, even after winning last year, and that ranking didn't sit well with him.
That already had made me mad going into the tournament, because I knew I deserved the first seed, but I didn't win state in this weight class last year. I won it in the 215.
Verham bulked up to 254 pounds for this season, but his championship match saw him pitted against an opponent from Barrow who weighed in at 280 pounds.
He's one heck of a wrestler. He's up and coming. He's a freshman, really strong. I'm really looking forward to keeping my eye on him.
As Verham tells the story of the championship match, he was all set to come out aggressive at the starting whistle. The two wrestlers got into position and they had to wait. There was a timing error. So when the wrestlers finally got back into starting position, his mojo was off. But he was determined to overcome the hiccup. Verham came out strong and outscored the big man from Barrow in the first two rounds. Each match in the tournament featured 3 2-minute rounds, and in the third, Verham saw his chance to pin his opponent.
I watched that guy all of his other matches because I knew it was going to be me and him in the finals. I knew he was going to upset the first seed. So I was watching him, and I saw him roll a guy through because they tried to get too excited and got over-adjusted. So in the third round, I could have pinned him, but I didn't want to get rolled through, so I played it safe, and I pulled back, and I won with the majority of 9-2.
Let's go!
And that sort of intelligence is what separates the good competitors from the greats. Wesley Verham is hoping to attend technical school next year and eventually earn a degree in construction management. He's also excited to wrestle at the next level.
There's nothing better coming in as a freshman and being humbled by those seniors. Those guys are going to be stronger than me, bigger than me, and they're going to fight harder than me. But I have no doubt by the time I'm a senior, I'll be helping the next freshman come along.
When asked if he had any final comments, the humble champ from Haynes responded with this.
I really wanted to say thank you to the school, to the search clinic for keeping me updated on my testing, and for the community supporting me from my first ever basketball meet down when I was in fourth grade all the way up into being a two-time state champion.
Congratulations to Wesley and the entire Haynes High School wrestling team for another championship season.
Yeah!
For KHNS News, yeah! I'm Mike Swayze.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. A road trip for recycling old fishing gear and a chance for a grant. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. Online at alaskaboat.com.
A recycling road trip for old fishing gear is set for June in many Alaska fishing towns. The first stop for a Net Your Problem team is at Naknek, where a June 7th meeting is set with the Bristol Bay Borough. Net Your Problem founder, Nicole Baker.
This is something I've been working on for a couple of years, and right now we are submitting a request to have a funding request discussed at their assembly meeting. So if that gets approved, then we will be able to hopefully start net recycling in 2022.
Baker's team will head to Cordova for a recycling push on June 8th.
The Cordova thing is moving full speed ahead with the Copper River Watershed Project. They're the ones that are actually collecting the nets.
They'll head to Homer mid-month. Then it's off to Dutch Harbor on June 18th, where her team will work with the city to sort through the nets and lines in the landfill. Getting more boats to recycle at Dutch also is an objective.
We're really encouraging fishermen to participate in this program instead of take stuff to the landfill.
Net Your Problem has been jump-starting fishing gear recycling in Alaska since 2017. Haynes and Juneau have ongoing programs. Kodiak recycles trawl nets. Baker also hopes to restart gear recycling in Dillingham. She says almost everyone backs the idea.
The problem is, how do we pay for it? So do our values and morals align with what budgets we have and what the other alternatives cost?
Net Your Problem is one of 10 finalists in a global solution search competition related to plastic pollution that rely on behavior changes. It's sponsored by the Center for Behavior and the Environment. The winning entrant receives a $25,000 grant. Project supporters can vote once per day through June 11. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods in Kodiak. I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 27th day of May, the year 2021, the start of Crab Festival. The sun rose today at 5:25 a.m. It will set again at 10:51 p.m., giving us 17 hours and 26 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 3 minutes and 11 seconds compared to yesterday. The record high for this date was 75, set in 2006, and the record low was 29, set in 1914. Currently 48 degrees out there, very pleasant, mostly cloudy skies is what they're calling this. The high near 54 is expected today. Calm winds will turn to the southeast this afternoon and go to 5 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 45, south winds to 10 miles per hour. And for tomorrow, just a 20% chance of rain. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high near 52. Calm winds will turn to the southeast and go to 5 miles per hour tomorrow afternoon. And for Saturday, they all are calling for rain mainly before 2 p.m. And your chance of precipitation on Saturday is 80%. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 4:01 p.m. That will be a 7.6-foot tide. The next low tide will be at 9:14 p.m. and be 1.7 feet. Our high tide for the middle of the night here on the east side will be at 3:24 a.m. and be 10.7 feet. And our low tide for tomorrow morning will be at 10:17 a.m. and be minus 2.5 feet. So 10:17 tomorrow morning, a big minus tide to go tide pooling. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 4:18 p.m. of 15.7 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:03 p.m. of 0.9 feet. Your next high tide will be at 3:56 a.m. and be 17.5 feet. And your low tide for tide pooling tomorrow morning on the west side will be at 10:41 a.m. and be minus 4.4 feet. That's pretty far down there. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A front will move west to east across the Gulf through Friday. Another front will approach Kodiak Island Saturday morning. Your resulting weather, Kodiak's east side, offshore, Marmot Island to Sitkanak. South wind to 15 knots right now, seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, southeast wind to 15 knots, seas to 5 feet. Over in the Shelikof on our west side, southwest wind to 20 knots right now and seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, variable 10 becoming northeast 20 tomorrow afternoon, seas to 2 feet, building to 5 feet tomorrow afternoon in the Shelikof. For inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bays, Chiniac Bay, variable less than 10 right now, will turn to the south and go to 15 knots this afternoon, seas to 2 feet. For tomorrow, variable less than 10 becoming east 10 in the afternoon, seas to 3 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, variable less than 10 right now, seas to 2 feet. For tomorrow, east winds to 10 knots, seas to 3 feet in Marmot Bay. Canna, the Alaska Sea Grant, and the Shunack Tribe of Kodiak strongly advise against eating personally harvested shellfish in the Kodiak region at this time. They are currently seeing elevated levels of toxins. Paralytic shellfish poisoning toxins increase dramatically in summer months and remain through the fall in the Kodiak region. This is due to naturally occurring toxic phytoplankton that bloom in warm water. All bivalve shellfish, that's clams, cockles, and mussels, as well as predatory snails and the digestive tissues of crab, can accumulate PSP toxins. People are at risk from eating personally harvested, untested shellfish. Please remember, PSP toxins cannot be removed by cooking, freezing, or soaking. Early symptoms of PSP include tingling, numbness, and nausea, and can progress rapidly to respiratory distress. If you feel any symptoms after eating untested shellfish, call 911 or go to your local clinic immediately. And just a reminder, commercially harvested shellfish is regulated and safe for consumption. For more information, contact Grace at 486-1360 or Julie at 486-1514. Well, it's Crab Festival time, and be sure to check the Crab Fest stage downtown Kodiak for musical artists, including Matt Mahan, a banjoist, who will be performing Sunday between 1 and 3 p.m. The Kodiak City Council will hold a regular meeting tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library's multi-purpose room. This meeting's open to the public, will be broadcast live here on KMXT, and web-streamed from the city website. The web streaming link and agendas and meeting packets are available at the city's website. For more information, call the city clerk's office at 486-8636. The assembly is having a work session tonight. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. in the Bayside Volunteer Fire Station. They have awards and presentations, including recognizing the Salvation Army. They are looking at adopting their budget for fiscal year 2022. And they're looking at contracts, including facility heating fuel oil and highway fuel for Kodiak Island Borough facilities and vehicles. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board will hold a meeting on Tuesday, June 1st. That's next Tuesday. The meeting will begin at 12 p.m. at the Baranoff Park office at 1222 Chichinoff Street. The meeting is open to the public. For more information, call the Parks and Rec office at 486-8670. The Crab Festival book sale is back. The Kodiak Public Library Association will host a book sale at the KPL Multipurpose Room Friday and Saturday. That's tomorrow and Saturday. On Friday morning from 10 to 11 a.m., members only. But the public is welcome Friday after 11 all the way to 4 p.m. and Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Bring a KPLA bag and enjoy. For more information, contact Roberta at 486-6189. Also, the Kodiak Public Library is hosting a community beekeeping project this summer. You can check out their many books on everything bee-related or watch a live hive check every Tuesday at 11 a.m. on the library's YouTube channel. You can also call to reserve a spot outside with the beekeeper or you can watch from inside. For more information, contact Ani at 486-8683. AMC and Alaska Sea Grant are conducting fishing vessel training classes today in Kodiak, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the UFA Marine Science Center on Trident Way. But if you will be in Naknek or Dillingham and would like to take these classes, they will be held in Naknek on June 10th and 11th and in Dillingham on June 12th and 13th. You can register online at amsea.org. That's www.amsea.org. Or you can call them at 747-3287.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Support for KMXT comes from GCI. Since 2017, the GCI Suicide Prevention Fund has given nearly $500,000 to Alaska organizations and nonprofits in an effort to help prevent suicide and promote healthy communities. More information about suicide prevention resources and initiatives can be found at gci.com/gives.
Nothing like having our subject introduce itself. Hi, I'm Richard Nelson for Encounters, a program of observations, experiences, and reflections on the world around us. One of those days when it seems as if the world is determined to throw at you every piece of beauty that it's got. I'm on the outer coast of southeast Alaska. As I look to my west, the distant ocean meets the sky. So we've got a little bit of surge running in off the North Pacific, and I've got my skiff tied up to some rocks and looking out at all the surrounding scenery. Islands of every size, from bare pinnacle rocks to great long forested islands and high mountains. Well, speaking of the world giving you every treat it's got, when I tied up the skiff here, I just wanted to watch the plentiful sea otters that are around. There's a mob of about 50 of them all rafted up to the south, and scattered sea otters, including moms with their little pups swimming back and forth here. While I was enjoying all this and having my peanut butter sandwich, the most amazing lunch guest in the world showed up, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. This sound, that is a gray whale. It came in not 10 minutes after I stopped here, and it's been circling and rising and blowing and diving and obviously feeding here. And as you can tell by the sound, it's very close, sometimes rising within 30 or 40 feet of the skiff. It's enough to make your heart jump once in a while, but this animal obviously has no interest in bumping into the skiff. A few minutes ago, it was coming straight toward me, and I was hanging on for a second, and I sort of thumped on the side of the boat, and the whale just turned away. I'm in such shallow water here that probably... Oh! Incredibly close, arches its back and turns vertical, and the flukes now up in the air, those great broad tail flukes gleaming, and down it goes. It's going to be down there for a few minutes, but I'll bet we'll see it again. Gray whales are unique and absolutely fascinating animals for several reasons. For one thing, they have an unusual way of living, and we're going to talk about that. They also have an extremely long migration every year. They're kind of famous for that.
And an interesting thing about their history, they were once nearly wiped out by commercial whalers, and then they have made an amazing recovery. And today also, one of the most fascinating things about